The story you're about to enjoy is a factual tale, read to you from a fictional location. We believe.
How many guests for midnight tea on Friday, madam?
13 guests, Mr. Darling. No, 12 and a half.
Madam, who is the half?
I haven't decided yet. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the 13th reading at the Midnight Library. I'm your heartwarming host, Miranda Merrick. The more sensitive among you may have noticed a slight shift in the energy and mood of the library this evening. It seems anything we do here involving the number 13 causes a shift in the atmosphere for some reason. You've always had to climb 13 steps to reach the library's veranda, upon which this night 13 crows have gathered and, I apologize, refuse to be shooed away. One of them is admittedly a pet named Steerpike. Professor Steerpike formally, but I caution you not to seek him out because he will... because he's shy. Painfully shy. Now... let us explore this pesky number, shall we? We'll even add the day of Friday into the equation so as not to miss anything out, because we in the Midnight Library love details. Now, who was it they said was in the details? Since literally every day of our lives, and indeed every day throughout history, is assigned its very own numerical code, it seems only human nature and common sense to search for patterns that may show themselves in these numbered days. After all, over the centuries, mankind has worked so hard at figuring out how our mathematics works perfectly for the counting, counting, counting of everything. Seconds, minutes, days, years, trips around our lonely star... that star's size and weight, and exactly when it will be eclipsed by our only moon, and that there's nothing to fear when it does. We find patterns in the numbers. It almost cannot be helped. On the day you are born, they dutifully weigh and measure everything about you. Some even take note of the coordinates upon the earth, and the stars under which you were born also. You may even consult a numerologist, who will take down all of your figures, coordinate them with letters of the alphabet, or number all the letters associated with your name, and come up with still more numbers under which they recommend you direct your every action. The very universe that came into existence and brought us forth to ponder it is thought to be, at its very heart, constructed of numbers. The weight of the atoms and the speed of light are described in their most basic form by numbers. Those who seek even deeper meaning and guidance from the universe or deities their faiths command may search the rumored, numbered, and lettered codes said to live in holy books, in hopes of sacred instructions meant only for them. I mean, you're important, right? Why wouldn't the universe have a message for you? Never mind, we love you. When you ask the average person, whatever that is, what their favorite number is, they'll almost always tell you a number associated with their birthday in some way, whether they consciously realize it or not. Most lottery players choose a mix of sentimental dates made up of birth dates in hopes of having some magical effect on the forces that cast the winning numbers. But when some people hear the approach of a certain number, they assume quite readily that they've already lost. Combine that number with a certain day, and some will try their best to blend in with the wallpaper in an attempt to hide from the fickle finger of fate. The number, of course, is 13, and the day is Friday, which by itself, I'm willing to bet, is everyone's favorite. The two together, not so much. But why? As you might suspect, it varies from culture to culture and is directed by happenstance down through history. It is compelling, as you'll hear, just why some have become so leery, to say the least, of the number 13. I'm about to read to you, my dear guests, a series of documented happenings, some of them quite dreary and disturbing, all of them to do with the number 13 and sometimes the date of Friday the 13th. We here in the Midnight Library hope to entertain you with this colorful information and encourage you not to read too much into it or to be influenced to take to heart the belief in the power of it regarding your own personal fate, not to develop an irrational compulsion of believing that the number holds sway to profoundly affect your destiny. We certainly don't. Most of you have undoubtedly heard that the diagnosis of a psychological fear of the number 13 is referred to as triskaidekaphobia. Its origin is simple. From the ancient Greek, it is split into two, triskaideka, meaning 13, and phobos or phobia, meaning fear. Those who become afflicted with this condition will often go to great lengths to avoid interacting with the famed number, often changing their daily plans or even life path when they see the number 13 is coming their way. They refuse to live at certain addresses. They won't accept a numbered seat or ticket for service, or believe it or not, date or marry someone born on the forbidden date. Strangely enough, a favorite fearmonger we all know and love, Stephen King, is said to be troubled by triskaidekaphobia. So, after all, just how much of an effect can a basic belief of countless unnamed people have in the world anyway? It turns out, it has a kind of wave effect. That on any given 13th of the month, and even more discernibly on dates of Friday the 13th, global economists can watch the distinctive trend move across the face of the earth as the reports of the world's happenings return the telltale data. There's less spending, less motion, less interaction, less business, and considerably less profits. By some estimates, the world economy loses approximately $900 million on any Friday the 13th. There are enough people in the world who simply glance at their calendars and think, "Oh, I'm not traveling today. I'm not transferring those funds today. It's probably a bad idea to invest that money today. Why tempt fate?" Then, when they read the market report of how badly everything went, they say, "See, those investors were eaten alive. I knew it would be a terrible day. I'm glad I was smart enough not to take the chance." So in this way, it all becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Perhaps. Its voice does seem to echo down through time, though. From early history, the number 12 was seen as a perfect number, as the constellations moved through the night sky in a series of 12 distinct repeating displays, accompanied by the radiant moon, drifting through its various fashions of dress during each of the 12 months to total the year. The earthly equinoxes were found using the number 12, which also equally divides the hours of each day. The very cosmos seemed to be set in time to the number 12. It had balance and harmony. One of the first recorded upsets to this fine balance can be found in Norse mythology, which holds that at Valhalla, a grand gathering of 12 powerful gods for a peaceful feast erupted into chaos with the arrival of the god Loki as the 13th fateful guest, thus sending a pattern down upon the earth and its people that follows us still today. Many societies view a young person to be thought of as an innocent child until the age of 12. In past times, 12 was favored as a perfect grouping of almost anything. Eggs were sold then as they are today, by the dozen.
So was bread, that was sold 12 loaves at a time. And when bakers were accused of shorting their customers, which was a punishable offense long ago, they began adding one extra entire loaf of bread into each order, thereby creating a baker's dozen, which later, for some reason, became known as the devil's dozen, which represented the number 13. How cute! Curiously enough, in biblical times, the solemn scene of the Last Supper was upset as Judas arrived as the 13th guest at the dinner meant for Jesus and his 12 disciples. Although there is some conjecture as to the verification of the exact list of the names of the disciples, it is also believed that either the Last Supper or the crucifixion took place on the 13th, depending on which interpretation of biblical texts one reads. Since time immemorial, there have typically been 13 ascending steps to the hangman's platform. It's also rumored that some gallows were built to feature 12 steps up and one down to cause the math to factor out to 13. There are not, however, 13 turns in a hangman's noose. Only 6 or 8 are necessary to configure the trustworthy catching loop. Although in Britain for the longest time, most hangings took place on the 13th of the month. Another happening thought to send an unhappy ripple regarding the date was the terrible massacre on Friday, October 13th in 1307. On that day, the soldiers and officers of King Philip IV of France invaded the homes of the Knights Templar, who were the holy warrior monks who fought during the Crusades. They were the protectors of holy relics and sacred grounds, defenders of Christianity. Hundreds of men were captured, imprisoned, and mercilessly tortured, and forced into making false confessions against themselves and others. Many were just out and out slaughtered. Buckingham Palace, built in 1703, was partially demolished on Friday the 13th in 1940 during World War II. German planes dropped 5 bombs that directly hit the palace that day where Queen Elizabeth was hosting King George VI at tea. In a stroke of good fortune, both of them escaped any harm. Friday the 13th has been host to many notable unfortunate disasters, such as floods, hurricanes, and fires. But these events happen on all the other days too, then, don't they? Although it is sad that on Friday, October 13th in 1972, a Chilean Air Force plane crashed high in the Andes Mountains, killing 12 passengers instantly, and the survivors had to resort to cannibalism to live. And on the very same day, a Russian plane crashed while attempting to land near Moscow, killing all 174 people on board. The luxurious Italian cruise ship, the Costa Concordia, was carrying over 4,200 passengers when it quickly capsized on Friday, January 13, 2012, trapping and killing 32 people. A terrible tragedy indeed. People born on the 13th might be thought of in suspicious terms, so what are the odds? Fairly good, it turns out. Much better than your odds of winning almost any lottery. Obviously, if you even out the number of days in a month to 30, you have about a 1 in 30 chance of being born on the 13th, with a 1 in 7 chance of being born on a Friday. But the number of Friday the 13ths occurring in any given year varies from 1 to 3 times in any given year. So, if there are or were 3 occurrences in any year, your odds would be 3 in 365, perhaps making it, or you, unlucky for some. Alfred Hitchcock was born on Friday the 13th, and we can only say good fortune surrounded him and his fine endeavors. Many hotels, you may have heard, have no rooms ending in 13, as well as no floor 13. This is to save any guests from blaming a bad vacation, or, heaven forbid, a bad honeymoon, on being forced to reside on the 13th floor, or in a room containing the unlucky number. And last, but certainly not least, because I don't want anyone to think there would be any reason for me to leave this point out, it has long been said, but never proven, that a witch's coven must always contain 13 members. How silly. What utter drivel. Well, my dear guests, this concludes our reading this evening. Please stay within the cordoned off areas on your way to the information desk, where we have some extra goodies you may enjoy. Please don't trip if you feel compelled to count your steps. Good night.
Charming reading this evening, madam. Your timing is impeccable. It is now precisely 1 a.m., or as we refer to it, 13 o'clock. Should I open the seance room window?
Wait until 13 minutes past, please, Mr. Darling. I believe the professor will prefer to be on the dot punctual.
He's arrived, madam, just as you said he would, precisely at 13:13. You did not predict, however, that he would have an eyeball displayed in his beak.
Ugh. Did I or did I not tell the guests not to seek him out?
You did indeed, madam. I've set tea for two, plus an extra little plate for Professor Steerpike's prize trophy, I don't know, snack.
Oh, an excellent courtesy, Mr. Darling. You do think of everything.
I do try, madam.
The Midnight Library is co-produced by Tess Feifel and Astonishing Legends Productions and is edited by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell with music and sound design by Ryan McCullough. Special thanks to Miranda Merrick and Mr. Darling. No part of the show may be reproduced in any manner without express written consent. Copyright Astonishing Legends, all rights reserved.